The reading is taken from the Book of Revelation, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 18. To the church in Thyatira. To the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these are the words of the Son of God, whose eyes are like blazing fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance, and that you are now doing more than you did at first. Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you except to hold on to what you have until I come. To the one who is victorious and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations, that one will rule them with an iron scepter and will dash them to pieces like pottery, just as I have received authority from my Father. I will also give that one the morning star. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the word of the Lord.
A nursery teacher gave her class a show-and-tell assignment. Each child was instructed to bring an object to share with the class that represented their religion. The first student got up in front of the class and said, "My name is Benjamin, and I'm Jewish, and this is a Star of David." The second student got up in front of the class and said, "My name is Mary, I'm a Catholic, and this is a rosary." The third student got up in front of the class and said, "My name is Tommy, I'm an Anglican, and this is a quiche." Okay, so it's not that funny. But it does show how churches are very different. And in Revelations here, we have each of these churches. They have their own slightly different way of doing things, their own mission priorities, if you like. And as we've seen, not one of those churches gets things exactly right. And here, John's vision from Jesus is pointing out some dangers for the church. And unsurprisingly, the dangers for those churches at that time are equally prevalent today and have been through history. We've been looking in our services at these churches in Revelations 2 and 3. So let's just have a quick recap. Ephesus, we had the church that had forsaken its first love. Smyrna, the church that would suffer persecution. Pergamum, the church that needed to repent. Thyatira, and I'm probably not saying that right, and I'm sure that in the reading, as it was read, it was probably the right way of saying it, but I'm going to say Thyatira. So Thyatira had a false prophet. And then the churches that are coming up in the next few weeks are Sardis, the church that had fallen asleep, Philadelphia, the church that had endured, and Laodicea, the church with the lukewarm faith. Today we're looking at Thyatira, and let me give you some context into where this church is and why it is the way it is. These churches were churches that John had pastoral responsibility over. Different apostles took responsibility for different churches in different places. So, of course, Paul had churches that he was looking after, and as did some of the other church leaders. But these are churches that John is looking after. These were more, though, than a letter, like where we see elsewhere in the New Testament. Obviously, Paul writes a lot, John elsewhere as well. But these aren't like those letters, because this is a vision that John has received from Jesus. So we're to read these as if we're listening to Jesus writing these letters. And of course, John writes to the churches because he wants to communicate this vision that he's got. And the most part of Revelation is indeed that vision of the end times. John is at the end of his life at this point. And so he's concerned, and he wants to use every opportunity to teach and warn those in his churches. He wants to say, you must get this right, because I might not be here for much longer. As we've heard previously in this sermon series, these seven churches are all located in the Roman province of Asia Minor, as it was at the time, which today is modern-day Turkey. There are tensions at this point, as John is reaching the end of his life, between Jews and Christians. It's also the beginning of a period of Roman persecution. And also into the mix, in 70 AD, Jerusalem, Judaism even, underwent a doctrinal shift, which saw the criteria for being a Jew stiffened, partly in response to the fact that, of course, Christians were claiming, a lot of them, Jewish heritage. Because they were converted Jews. So now we get to the point in our history where Jewish Christians were now beginning to identify as Christian instead of Jew. And this is causing pain and uncertainty and arguments over doctrine in the church. All these churches that we're looking at here are along the Mediterranean coast. They're each around about 30 miles apart, so they're quite nearby. But they're not the only churches that are nearby. The city of Corinth is not far away, but of course Corinth is one of Paul's churches, so John doesn't mention Corinth here. It's also a time of change in society, a time when the secular government was changing the boundaries and becoming more intolerant. A time when arguments were happening in the church and there were beginning to be the formation of different traditions. You might recognise that picture even today. The warnings that are given here are intended to pull the churches together. Dark days are coming and they need to be strong. It's interesting to note that the whole of the letter, or the book of Revelation, was sent to each of the churches. They all got exactly the same thing. And so they all saw what John had written to the others as well. And before I begin, I should warn you that, like some of the other sermons in this series, this talk may be quite challenging. So let's look at some signs that you are listening to a false prophet. These were written by a wit quite a long time ago. You think you might be listening to a false prophet if he thinks Abraham, Isaac and Jacob may have had a few hit songs during the 60s. You might be listening to a false prophet if his favourite Old Testament patriarch is Hercules. Or maybe you might be listening to a false prophet because he thinks the minor prophets worked in the quarries. Or perhaps she tells you her references from First Condominiums. The false prophecy that we see at Thyatira was, of course, a little more severe than those. Thyatira is the smallest and least important town of these churches. It was a stopgap trading centre between the larger cities that were around it. And it was run by trade guilds, including wool makers, linen workers, clothes makers, tanners, potters, bakers, slave dealers, and bronze smiths. But its main trade was wool dyeing. And it was a wealthy place, as you can imagine. The church was probably quite small in numbers. And the first thing to notice is this is the only letter specifically mentioning that this should be read as a message from the Son of God. The reference here, eyes like fire, feet like bronze, is directly from Psalm 2. It is probably included as a reference to the industrial working of the town, but maybe the direct reference to the Son of God is to counteract any wrong teaching by this character, Jezebel. The message starts off well for Thyatira. The church is highly praised. It's loving, faithful, it's known for its service, it's a persevering church, it's growing spiritually, and it's doing more than it did before. It's certainly doing better than Smyrna, for example, that it's been told in no uncertain terms to wake up by Jesus. But there is this problem, this danger, a poison in the church. Because what we've got here is a false teacher. Jezebel is what she's named in the passage, but this was certainly not her name. We know the connotations of the name Jezebel, and Jezebel is a Jewish name, but it's never used by this point because, of course, the allusions to Ahab's wife in the Old Testament. You don't find many people wanting to name their children after someone like her. But for our purposes, we will refer to her as Jezebel. She calls herself a prophet, but her teaching is false. The advice that she's giving is damaging the church, but it is with two teachings that she is condemned here by Jesus. She's teaching the church to commit sexual immorality. And it seems that this is selfish teaching on her part. Verse 22 notes that it is with her that this sexual immorality is taking place. She is an adulteress wanting personal pleasure from those in the church. And there were also certain sexual practices involved with the guilds that I'll come to in a minute. The second issue is with the eating of idol meat. And of course, Paul deals with this in 1 Corinthians 8, but of course this is an issue in Thyatira for the Christians. With it being a guild-run town, the temptation to conform would have been great. You could not earn a living without being part of a guild, or at least it would have been extremely difficult. Membership required attendance to guild banquets, and of course, at these guild banquets, they would use the idol meat, the meat sacrificed to other gods. So what was a Christian to do? If he or she doesn't conform, then they're out of a job, effectively. It appears as if Jezebel reasoned that eating the meat had no consequence. But the second part of this, of these guild meetings, that it was the case that it usually ended up in a sexual melee, an orgy. Jezebel is saying, we can be part of this, and we can still be faithful Christians. She is using teaching about idol meat to justify immoral behaviour. And of course we see from our reading, she's already been warned, Jezebel's been warned, and she's ignored these warnings. And therefore she is damned, as we saw in verses 21 and 22. Well, you could say, well, this is a message just for that church at that particular time in history. But we all have to walk the line all the time in our society, don't we? How far can we go in accepting society's terms and society's practices? On one hand, we should never deny our faith and what goes with it. On the other hand, we should not deny our membership of our society and our community. The purpose of God is not served if we withdraw from society into our own little church bubble, is it? But at the same time, we shouldn't lose sight of following God's will, as some of the Christians in Thyatira seem to have done. As Genevieve said last week, the Bible is the Logos, which means the Word of God. It has authority, and we need to follow the life that is set out in its pages. If someone preaches a message that is contrary to what the Bible says, they're a false prophet. If someone prophesies what is not consistent with the Word of God, then it's not from God. But sadly, of course, the reality is that many have abandoned the Word of God. Many preachers, especially in the West and in this country. So you need to rely on your Bible. I need to rely on my Bible. Check what you are taught is held up by Scripture. And ask God to guide you on the right path. Amen.